Dr. Ryan Stanton here with ASAP Frontline, joined now by Liz Crowe, and she wasn't initially on my schedule for Smack Dub until I saw her talk from yesterday morning on What's Love Got to Do With It, and then we got busy on Twitter and figured out if we could get a time for her to join us here at Smack Dub, and so we are making it happen. It's easily one of the most popular talks via what I've heard from folks attending, as well as on Twitter, as it gets fired up. A combination of an emotional talk as well as her sense of humor that that helps her connect so well as a speaker. So Dr. Crowe, give me some background information, who you are, where you practice, and how you got into this sort of speaking, because it sounds like you have a theme in terms of the emotional side of presentations.
First of all, I'm not a doctor yet, so I'm a social worker. And I work in a pediatric intensive care unit in Australia. Mm-hmm. I don't represent my hospital when I'm here, that's why I'm not giving the name.
Okay.
I'm doing a PhD in critical care well-being for staff, looking at, you know, what are the things that actually, you know, make staff more fatigued or concerned about their own well-being, and how does that fit from an ecological point of view rather than just a snapshot of, like, how do you feel on this day? What are the protective factors? What are the environmental factors? And that's wielding some really interesting results. But I've been really fortunate to speak at every SMAC conference since the Gold Coast. And I think yesterday I was really interested in bringing out the conversation of where does love and compassion fit in all of this, and that's across the board. It wasn't just love and compassion for patients, but love and compassion for, you know, leadership, teams, and then, you know, your own well-being.
And it's one of those, one thing I noticed, it was that entire session in the morning. Well, it wasn't the entire, but it seemed like there was two or three talks that had to do more with that, with more emotion, love and fear and things like that, and that's different than a lot of the conferences we go to. Everything is about data and publications and technology and things like that. And I think it's one of the unique aspects of the SMAC conferences. We get into the more of that really goes into our job, and you talk about it some yesterday, is that as much as technology and things drive our career, there's still so much more of it to the love and the emotion and those interactions with people. And so get into a little bit about those interactions with those, with your other staff members, whether it's physicians, nurses, techs, those people and the patients and their families in the hospital, and how our personal feelings, our personal thoughts and things we can do to help improve that relationship in the care for the patient.
Look, I think the old medical model just no longer works. I think that humans have always had a really deep need to have connections with others. That's a fact of life. Like, none of us can survive just with food and water. If you only feed a baby and you don't touch it, it has a much higher chance of mortality, and its brain will develop very differently. Like, human connection is just an essential core. I think what's happening is that medicine is now getting so large that we can't have these tiny teams where we can accommodate nuances or bad behavior. You know, we're all working in a much more fast-paced environment. Our home life has dramatically changed. Everything about our original physiology and biology is changing as a result of the world, and that's happened in the last 100 years. So once upon a time, you know, we went to bed when the sun went down and we woke up when the sun came up, and now, you know, particularly in critical care, everyone works shift work, everyone works weekends, people do retrievals, so they're, you know, on call. So just the demands of family life, the lack of community that we have outside of work, the complexity of the demographics of the patients that we're dealing with, the ethics, you know, just because we can doesn't mean we should, all of these things are meaning that a lot of the, the strategies that were used in the past to cope with the work no longer fit. And so we're seeing also a whole generation of people who are saying, I'm not prepared to work like this, I'm not prepared to be treated like this. And we've got all this research coming out saying this is not good, you know, burnout is getting higher, people are stressed, you know, lots of doctors wouldn't make the same career choices if they had a chance again. And no one is talking about an intervention. No one is talking about a solution to that. And I think that that's one of the unique things about SMAC. And so I think part of that conversation for me is just starting about, why is it that we can say, I love your hair, I love the shoes, I love wine, I love my bike, I love Pilates, I love yoga, but we're so terrified to say to a patient, you know, who do you love and who do you need to be here? To say to a family member, this is a really difficult decision because you love this person and you're trying to, you know, the thing you're most afraid of is happening, and we're just going to acknowledge that. We're so afraid to say, you know, we love our colleagues. Where I work, you know, you don't love everyone all the time, you know, and I'm not Pollyanna-ish about that. You don't love every family, you don't love every team member. But for lots of people, work is now their community. So if work is bad, where do they go? And we know that the majority of people debrief about the day, de-stress about the day with other staff members, not with their families, because they don't want to burden them or they don't want to expose them to the trauma of it all. Or sometimes family members and friends say, I can't hear this. So we've got to get a lot wiser. We have to introduce a whole culture of communication and a whole culture of looking out for each other. It's no longer going to fit that people who are leaders are just the most experienced physician in the room. We require so many more skills from leadership in healthcare, and we have to start a conversation about that.
Well, the difficulty that you bring, one of the things you bring up, and the question I have is, in medicine, we're taught, especially in emergency medicine, we're taught to put up barriers because of that potential emotional connection and that emotional drain of seeing death and illness and all of those things all the time. And people say, you know, to me, how can you see this and not be affected? What's it like? It's like, well, it's another day of work. It's another patient. You know, with the exception of children or, to me, young people with cancer, you know, it's for, to me, it's easy to shelve it as just another day at work. How do we open up to make those connections and that love and compassion without making ourselves vulnerable to these interactions, to the death and the illness that we see? How do we reach that balance of being completely open and thus vulnerable?
I'm not sure it does make us vulnerable. And I think the literature is starting to really say that if you want to survive, compassion and being open is one of the keys to that, because it takes an awful amount of energy to keep compartmentalizing those emotions over and over again rather than sitting with them. And look, I've been doing pediatric end-of-life care, critical care for 22 years, and I think I'm doing a good job. A lot of my colleagues have been working that entire amount of time. And, you know, I'm not sure that it's even personality traits. You know, we're all very different people. We have very different spiritual beliefs, from people who have a strong faith to people who are atheists. You know, that there's no common thread. But I think what it is that if you can really sit in the moment, it makes life so much easier. And I run a communication course here, and I say to people, if you can build rapport, you know, even if you're going to call that your bit of loving for the day, if you can build rapport in the first few seconds that you meet someone, even if it's someone really annoying and it's 2 a.m. and the department's really busy and they've come in with an earache that you think could have waited to see the general practitioner, something has made that person so frightened or in so much pain that they've been motivated enough at 2 in the morning, you know, to drive to your hospital. So if you can say to them, wow, you know, your ear must be really bothering you that you've come here at 2 in the morning. You know, what was the tipping point? You know, like, there's nothing worse than earache, even though you're thinking, well, there's a gunshot wound there. But if you say those things, that patient immediately is going to be more forgiving of you. Your chances of litigation have probably gone down. If you can't get that cannula in straight away, they're still going to perceive you as a really nice doctor or a really nice nurse, and be forgiving because you are friendly to them. It's much harder to be, you know, grumpy and then have them fire up and back off. And it takes a lot more effort. And honestly, you know, the literature does say that if you have that relationship, you're likely to get out of there faster. Because people are more inclined to say, oh, I can see that you're really busy. You know, if you're compassionate to them in the first instance, they're more likely to say, I can see you're really busy. I feel a bit awful about being here. Whereas if you kind of come in and say, you know, this could have waited to the GP, people's natural response is to be defensive and to dig in.
Well, I definitely can see, you know, it that you brought the energy from the talk yesterday here, and I can definitely see why the talks you give connect so well. And it's, for me, it would be a breath of fresh air to bring a lot of this to practice in the United States and in my departments and things like that, because I think there is so much more and more walls being built in medicine. And when it should be just the opposite, we're learning from research and experience that the fewer walls, the better we can treat our patients and the happier we are with our careers. And yet it just seems like everything we do, we just put up another wall or another fence or another do not cross tape out there. Liz, tell me, how can folks get in touch with you? How can they contact you, whether by Twitter or email, if they want more information?
So can I just add one more point?
Absolutely.
You know, in terms of positive psychology, and again, I'm not Pollyanna-ish. If anyone listens to any of my other talks, you'll know that I'm a real realist and I have that real sense of Australian kind of hardiness about me. But with any emotion, the more you practice it, the more skilled you'll become. So if you want to be skeptical, if you want to be hard, if you want to be a nasty person, if you practice that, you will actually excel at it. Whereas if you get up in the morning and you say, today, who do I want to be as a team member? How do I want to reflect things? You know, one of the points I made yesterday was about saying, you know, doctors set the tone. Everyone asks when you come on the floor, who's on? Because you're setting the tone. What do you want people to say at the end of your shift? And to smile and to say thank you and to work at being friendly. It's very contagious. That sort of emotion spreads faster than passive smoking. So, you know, like to just ask yourself and you'll be surprised how much you can change the culture one interaction at a time. So in terms of following me, I do have a blog, but I'm really hopeless at ever putting anything on there. I podcast with St. Emlyn's group. So I have a number of podcasts up with Dr. Ian Beardsall that people can find under St. Emlyn's around communication, grief at Christmas, things like that, for both staff and families. On Twitter, I'm Liz Crowe 2, and that's LizCrowe 2. And I post a lot of things about well-being and leadership and team building. Hopefully I will have some publications out by the end of the year with my PhD with regards to critical care and well-being, which I have very strong views on. And obviously if you look at the SMAC website, you'll be able to see my podcasts from the last 2 years.
All right. Yep. So once again, you can actually hear the entire talks. I would suggest getting on the SMAC podcast. I listen to them. It's a great way to get those talks in their entirety down the road. And kind of the summary there is don't be really good at being an a-hole. Let's be good at being compassionate the way you'd want to be treated if you were in the emergency department or with your staff. I think that goes a long way. And as for me, you can follow me along at Everyday Med on Twitter. Email youreverydaymedicine@gmail.com. I'm Dr. Ryan Stanton. Thanks for joining me, and this has been some ASAP Frontline.